Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, this is Sanjay Ture for WeWork Radio. Today we are here with a pretty interesting guest. His name is Peter Antonetz, and I hope I'm not saying that wrong.
You did it exactly right.
Okay, perfect. And your company's name is Celse.
Celse.
Celse. Okay.
And so it's sell and say.
Okay.
And together it's Celse, and it's supposed to remind of the word sensei, you know, which is teacher in the Japanese.
It's like a play on words. I like that.
Yeah, so we try to be smart.
Okay, so your company is different because it's speaking about emotional intelligence. And I feel like that's something that most companies don't really pay attention to right now. So can you explain a little bit about your company?
Yes. So actually, a lot of companies are paying attention to emotional intelligence. And if you read articles on LinkedIn or, you know, other resources, a lot of people are talking about how important that is in business these days. But the problem is that talking about emotional intelligence doesn't really improve much of anything.
Right.
People listen, they nod their head, they say, yeah, that's right. Yes, those things should be like that. But they don't really do anything differently. So with our company, we actually train people how to improve their emotional intelligence. So we're all about practical applications, not talking about it, but actually helping people learn how to apply it in their everyday work.
Yeah. So how is it important and how does it affect sales management?
So sales management, sales and management, so all of that actually, it is important because, you know, when you talk to salespeople, even those in, for example, IT sector who sell software and where maybe even a lot of things are automated, they still all say that human interactions, the way you handle the conversation
it's
with
important.
The customer, yeah, plays a huge role in whether there's going to be business or not, or how, you know, how the relationship is going to flow. Is it going to be there? And
yes.
How is it going to be there for long term? So in the end, at least these days, you know, we can't really delegate the human factor to any kind of automation. So when it comes to interacting with people, our point is you can't really rely just on the words you say. What you say is important.
Yes.
But we also know that research tells us and neuroscience tells us that words in communication make only up to like 10% of the message.
So it's more of the behavior and how you interact and your interpersonal.
Yes. So where's the other 90%?
Right.
So the other 90% are, roughly speaking, in the behavior. We may be not conscious of that, but we actually do perceive a lot from how the other person is behaving, their tone of voice, what they do with their body, a lot of other things.
Yes.
So again, we know about it, but most people are not really very skillful with recognizing those things. And in sales, especially where people work with scripts, where people work with playbooks, they focus on the words too much.
Right.
Well, let me give you an example.
Okay.
So, for example, you're a salesperson, and so you've been trained, and they say, okay, you're probably going to come across an objection where they say that your product is too expensive. And if they say that the product is too expensive, then you say this, you know, break it down into 365 or compare it to cups of coffee or whatever, you know, silly things they suggest. But let's imagine a situation. So you come to...
Walk me through it. Yes.
You're talking to a customer and you're saying, our product costs $10,000. And so compare it to reactions. One person says, $10,000? That's a lot of money.
Wow.
And the other one says, $10,000. Well, that's a lot of money. So the words are exactly the same, but is the message the same?
And the inflation in their tone and all of that. Yep.
So these two people are in completely two different modes. They're in two different
mindsets.
You know, one is more objecting, one has already made a decision mm-hmm. that it's a bad deal. The other one is thinking. Maybe yep. he's thinking where to get the money. We don't know right. what he's thinking about. But it's a very different mindset. So if you are a smart salesperson, you're not going to react the same way to these two responses. You are also going to respond differently.
Okay.
When you pay attention to that part of their message, which is even actually bigger than just the words that they said. Or from management, I can also give you an example. Suppose you're a manager mm-hmm. and you have an employee and you give them a task, which is challenging. So compare the two situations. One employee tells you, so you say, okay, you go do, you need to do
so
this.
So I'm a manager and I'm instructing the manager. My employees.
Yes. And okay. so for example, you're delegating a task and one employee says, well, I don't even know how I'm going to do it, but I'll do my best.
Yes.
Okay. And the other one says, well, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll do my best. Okay.
Completely so, different.
Again, that's completely different mindset. Yeah. So if you pay attention to that, well, you already know mm-hmm. that these two people are in different mindsets. They're going to act differently,
right?
And out of that, they're gonna get different results.
So that's where the emotional intelligence steps in. You're being exactly. able to differentiate which, means which.
Exactly. So with emotional intelligence, and of course, we're gonna, speak in simplistic terms here, okay. just for the sake of time. But with emotional intelligence, we really focus on two aspects of it. The first aspect is what we call diagnostics. So that's your ability to read into the other person's behavior and really understand what is happening in their mind. What are they feeling? Right. What are they thinking beyond the word, just the words they yeah. say, beyond logic.
So you don't focus so much on the words. You're focusing on the other things that come behind it.
Yes. So you, of course, words are important. It's not like you are, putting them out of right. the picture. You take them in, but as a part of a whole message, which is way bigger than words. So diagnostics is your ability to really comprehend the situation on a deeper level.
Okay.
Like what the other person is feeling, what are they thinking, what kind of mode are they in? Are they being defensive or are they being cooperative? So you're being able to comprehend that. And interpret that correctly. That's one part of it. But mm-hmm. the other part of emotional intelligence is actually being aware of your own emotions and being conscious with your own behavior.
And you try not to project that onto whatever they're saying,
yes.
and whatever they're feeling.
Okay. Yes. Because if you just understand what's happening with other people, that's very helpful.
Right.
But if you're not mindful of your own feelings and if you're not directing your own behavior consciously, then you are bound to do things which are going to make other people defensive or mm-hmm. which are going to push them away. So if you are very deliberate with how you act and what message you carry across
right.
in your behavior, then your influence can get on a whole different level.
Yep.
So that's what our company does. We empower salespeople and managers with those tools so they can become more aware of what's happening with other people mm-hmm. and they can be a lot more conscious and deliberate
yep,
with
aware.
Things they do, yes, and understand how their behavior influences other people so they can be very precise with their actions. And usually it just works wonders in sales and in management.
Yeah. So what's the problem with traditional sales models and what are you guys doing differently?
So with sales, we focus on two things. One thing is the emotional intelligence, which is we talked about,
right.
Equipping people with those tools on a practical level. But also, there is a different sales model which works very well with those tools. And the main difference there, I'm not going to go too much into detail, but the main difference is this. Most sales models out there don't even question that the goal of a salesperson is to convince mm-hmm. the other person. It's like, sure, you're a salesman. That's your job. You need
right.
to convince other people
be
to
persuasive
buy.
Persuasive almost.
Yeah. So they don't even question that. That's your job. You need to sell.
Yeah. And so walk me through it. I'm a company and I'm coming to you for help on emotional intelligence and fixing the environment in my company, I guess. Uh-huh. How does your company come in and help us? What's the first steps?
So normally what we do is, because it is difficult for companies to bring on new training providers. Many companies have had bad experiences. They're kind of mistrustful, which right. is normal and understandable. Training is a big investment, not just of the money, but also their people's time mm-hmm. and their people's focus. So normally what we do is we do a small workshop just with a focus on emotional intelligence where, we help people actually experience that so they don't have to believe us, that they actually experience how it works. And if that resonates with them, then we can go into actual sales techniques and management techniques that mesh very well with that emotional intelligence part, that are much more effective than traditional sales methods and traditional like delegation mm-hmm. Methods in management. So if you want to talk a little more about the difference in terms of sales, I can explain. Go ahead.
I'm gonna let you do that.
So what I was saying is, usually with traditional models, the salesperson is put in the position where they have to be pushing, mm-hmm. where they have to sell, where they have yeah. to convince, and that creates the dynamic where the other party, they sense that mm-hmm. and they become defensive. So most of the problems that people experience in sales are not necessarily connected to issues with the product or particular process, but the problem is that their desire to get the other person to agree drives defensive behavior
yes.
in the other party, so they begin resisting. So a lot of objections, a lot of difficulties that salespeople encounter and struggle with actually are caused by their own approach.
Right.
Well, for example, look, what if I tell you, just watch yourself right now very, very closely.
Okay.
So imagine I tell you, Sanjay, I want to talk to you about something. And by the time we're done, you will see that I'm right and you will agree with me.
I would look at you like you're kind of crazy.
Okay. If you watch your face right now, you're like, what?
Yeah.
So, and that is just a small demonstration of how, and you don't even know what I was going to talk to you about. Mm. Maybe I was going to talk about giving you money or something that would actually be good for you.
Right.
But at this point, just
I
on the
automatically
emotional level,
took it as like something negative or just something yeah. weird. Yeah.
Some kind of a threat, because basically when I put myself in the position to where you are going to agree with me, mm-hmm. I'm going to make you agree with me. That automatically just, it's a part of human nature, automatically makes you defensive because
yeah.
I'm trying to sort of steal your power to make decisions for yourself.
Right.
I'm stealing your choice. I'm telling you I'm smarter than you. I know what you should do.
Yeah.
So listen to me and do as I say. So naturally
have
you have resistance to that.
I know you're coming in and you're training companies that are mainly in sales, but I know you mentioned earlier IT companies, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you go in and train those companies on how to interact with like managers and employees and like the whole work environment? Do you do stuff like that?
Yeah, so
I can imagine emotional intelligence comes in there.
Yeah, it's absolutely applicable. So it depends on what a particular company needs and if they want to improve the environment, if they want to improve the cooperation between different people in the company.
Right.
We have a product called Team Alignment. So there we, depending on whether they have done work with us before or not. So we always, structure training depending on the needs of the company and depending
exactly.
on their experience. So it depends how we're going to structure that. But we, of course, focus a lot on communication and on the emotional aspect of it as well. So it may be training where we're making people more aware how it works in general.
Yeah.
But usually in all our training, we always work with the client's real situation. So even if that's sales training, we work with their, you know, sales cases. We don't
so
bring our own.
So they come to you and they tell you what the problem is, and then that's how you go about your training process.
Yes. And we actually do role plays with their cases, and through their cases, we show them how they can walk a completely different path in the same situation.
How do the workshops go? Can you walk me through that?
So again, that depends on what kind of workshop. The workshops that I've been doing lately work like this. We just very briefly introduce people to the concept of emotional intelligence and, you know, why it's important. That's literally 5 minutes. And right after that, we go into practice where the trainer walks people through different emotional levels and demonstrates how emotions can be grouped, what is the difference between those groups. And people actually get to observe and experience that. Yeah. And they themselves respond with how it affects them. So you don't really need to tell them, well, this is what this does to you. They
already
after
know
experience,
they
say,
it.
This is what it does to me.
Yeah.
So, and then we summarize that and help kind of classify it so it's systemized and clear. And after we have done that, each participant of the workshop individually practices with managing his emotional levels to where they deliver the message deliberately with different emotions.
Yeah.
And the trainer gives them feedback on how they're doing, where they hit and miss. And people are very often surprised by how actually difficult that is to them, to where they're trying to do one thing, but something else is happening. They're like their habits and their lack of consciousness of their own behavior, all of a sudden shows that they're trying to show, for example, respect,
right?
But instead they are challenging, or instead they are just being formal.
Something else is coming up,
instead they're threatening. So it's entertaining, but it's also very educating to people. And many of them say that that's kind of a mirror to themselves that they don't normally get. That they got to see how off they are
and how they act.
Yes, like they think they're doing one thing, but they're actually doing something different.
Right.
So they get to actually experience that, see that. Have all the other people in the group also, you know, give them feedback on this, and they get to observe others where other people are doing it. So while we're doing this practice, two things are happening. Number one, you are practicing with being deliberate with your emotional message, and it turns out to be a lot harder than most people think. And on the other hand, they're training their diagnostic skills, because while listening to other people, they're learning to interpret what's happening with them. Because, as I said, people are used to people usually listen to the words. But when we focus on the other part of the message, all of a sudden they see, oh, yeah, my interpretation is also off, because I thought, you know, he did good with, I don't know, for example, a respectful tone. But the trainer is saying something different.
Right.
And now that I hear the trainer explain, I realize he's right. So,
you're really working on your social skills as well while you're doing all of
this. Yes, yes.
So I kind of want to know how you get your customers. How do you go about reaching them? And how has WeWork contributed to that?
So actually, we have just started here in the Atlanta market.
Yeah.
So, and I just joined WeWork, so I'm a new member here, And before that, for a few months, I was at Atlanta Tech Village. And the reason why I was at Atlanta Tech Village is because we also designed a mobile app that actually helps with training those skills and that helps with sales and negotiations. So, but I'm not, it's a whole separate conversation. So we created that app. And, it, you know, it was helpful to me to be in the tech environment to kind of enrich myself, you know, on that level. And there we did those workshops to measure how people are responding if, you know, if this market needs something like that. Yeah. And the response was very strong. And on our website, I posted some feedback. You can see actually people talking and sharing. You can see just how excited and impressed they are. And so now that's what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to you know, focus on those workshops. I'm going to have them openly available so people can come and participate. And also, I have started talking to different companies here in Atlanta about doing those workshops, you know, on their territory, doing that for their
team. What type of businesses hire your company to come in and train them?
So we have had different customers, or quite a few IT companies. My past background, you know, I'm from corporate. Myself, and I worked for finance companies most of my life.
I would think you have some sort of a psychology background or something of the sort.
Well, actually, no. But but the training that I have had, I think, is the most powerful psychological training you can get.
Yeah.
Even though officially, no, I'm not, you know, certified as a psychologist on any level. I don't really introduce myself as a psychologist.
Yeah.
But, you know, somehow I don't really need to. When people see that what I'm sharing with them is useful, that they can, you know, apply it right now and get better results, you know, really, who really cares about that?
After one of your workshops, how long does it take for me to see results?
Well, most people say that they see results immediately. Sometimes even like the next day, I talked to somebody who participated and he said, they just shared their experience when they came home, for example, and started talking to, you know, people in their family. And all of a sudden, those things we talked about,
they're,
you know,
kind of
jump
now
at their face. I'm sorry?
They're monitoring themselves now, and now they're seeing how they act and all
yeah,
of that.
But they, yeah, but you also get to see a lot more about other people and how they act. You all of a sudden pick up on subtle tones you didn't hear before, subtle attitudes you didn't notice before. So, for example, a lot of people very easily miss irritation. You know, most people pick up on the other person being irritated only when it's already very, very obvious.
Yeah.
And usually that's kind of a later stage.
Right.
But if you become a little more sensitive, you can pick up on subtle signs of irritation much earlier than before things can get bad.
Yeah.
But people are usually surprised how much of that is actually present. You know, everyone is smiling, you know, in the office or in the family. But when you become more attentive, you all of a sudden notice that there's a lot more going on, that people, you know, may be smiling, but they, you know, have those different attitudes kind of mixed into it. And it allows to... sometimes it allows to discover hidden issues and hidden concerns and hidden problems. And of course, when people open that up and they work through that, usually, you know, relationships get better.
Businesses get better. Your company. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of things. And with customers, for example, in sales, when you're attentive to that, you can, it's much easier to discover hidden needs and concerns the client has, because they're not always forthcoming with what really bothers them, with what they're afraid of, what they're concerned about. But when you're attentive to how they speak about things, all of a sudden you can get like a lot more awareness of what's going on, and you can open up topics that otherwise you would have missed.
Yeah.
So that allows to... you know, get deeper into the needs of the client, and everybody in sales knows that's one of the most important things, to really understand
the
what they need,
needs.
What are they concerned about, what are they afraid of, what do they want. So, you know, the better you are at reading this, the easier it is to close the sale, and the easier it is to build a sustainable relationship with a client. Yeah.
Well, if someone's listening right now, where can they go to find more about your company?
So the easiest way, of course, is our website. It's selsay.com. It's S-E-L-L, sell, and S-A-Y, say.com. They can contact us through the website. And people can also write me at my email, which is pa@selsay.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Peter Antonets, right?
Exactly right.
I'm going to have you stick around.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
So our next guest we have up is Jasmine Ford, and her company's name is Her Web Design. I would like you to just tell me a little bit about your company.
So Her Web Design is based in Atlanta, obviously, and it's self-funded. I sort of just woke up one day and I was like, you know, I think I really want to start a business. I've had a lot of encouragement through family and friends, and I just had a really hard time trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to do. So I'm in school for software development, and I typically was spending a lot of time doing projects for friends and helping out family members build websites because I have a lot of entrepreneurs in my family. And my best friend, Stephanie, she came to me and she was like, hey, you know, you do this all the time. You should really start charging people for it.
Make this a living, not a hobby.
So that was like the biggest idea. It was really silly for that. I didn't think about it before because it's like along my career path, like coding and things like that and using WordPress and what have you. So I started Her Web Design. The reason why I picked that name is there's not a lot of women in IT. So I felt like it would be really powerful to show a women's presence in the IT industry and show that, you know, we mean business and we should be taken seriously.
Right.
And my goal was to have prices for the everyday person, you know, like maybe everybody might not be the largest corporation or they might not have the largest budget. So I have broad ranges that suit everybody's needs.
I like that. So I'm looking on your website and I see your logo and it's actually really pretty. Can you tell me what was the idea behind this?
So I'm having contacts in right now, but I'm really blind. I cannot see with anything.
Oh, wow.
So the picture originally was an actual picture of my eyes with my glasses on after my friend did my lashes. And I really loved the picture because my eyelid flashes look really great.
They're popping.
Yeah, they look so good. And then I actually had a friend who wanted to animate it just for a portfolio. So I was looking over and I was like, wow, you know, this actually might be it because it gives off so much, it just says so much about like me as a person. And it really just is able to put that I'm professional and still have like that IT feel because of the glasses and things like that, but still have a feminine touch. So you get the point that there is a woman behind this organization.
And, but so it's a little nerdy with the glasses, but also feminine with the lashes.
Yes,
right? Okay. So what inspired you to start your own business? I know you explained that, but like, what's your background?
Well, I come from, my family is amazing. Like, my biological dad, my dad, he's a police officer. My stepdad is also a police officer and retired drill sergeant. So I've seen them both have a lot of companies. My dad has a company called Pacific Fund. So he works with car rental services and Six Flags or things like that over the West Coast in California. And then my stepdad has had dry cleaning and taxi services. So growing up, I've had a lot of
entrepreneurs in your life.
Big shoes to fill. So it was just, I guess, second nature that I wanted to do it myself as well. So that's more so what motivated me and my family.
So who is your ideal customer? What type of person usually comes to you and looks for your help, basically?
So far, I've had a lot of one-man shops. They want a professional website, but they can't afford to pay $1,000 for a really nice shop. So I've dealt with a lot of salonists and people in the entertainment industry who own studios and people who do beauty products steaming and yoni eggs and that make their own cosmetology lines and things like that. So those are a lot of the people I work with.
So how does your business work? Is it like some sort of a monthly subscription and you can go in there every month and you can update the website and make it look pretty? Or is it something where you just make my website and that's it and I have to maintain it?
Well, it just depends on what package you want. I do have monthly memberships and then I do have one-time services for those who may already have something lined up in the future, but they sort of need something to get kicked off, or then they might have the person who say, you know, I don't have the time and I have no one in mind to do it. So I do offer both. It just depends on what they want.
So how do you go about working with someone on their website? Do I just give you a phone call, or do we sit down and we get out a whiteboard and we're jotting down exactly what I want? Or is it something that you create the whole, you know, idea behind it all?
Well, it's a combination. It really just depends on the person. I have some people who are remote in different states, so I do use Zoom or Skype to video chat with them, and I'll do test things. I ask for color schemes and pictures. I tell people there's no such thing as too much detail. You cannot get on my nerve with giving much detail, because I have to make your dream become a reality. I do also like to have clients sit down in front of me, if it's possible, at the Ulrich location, and you know, see what they all have and what they want, or see maybe a past website to sort of get a feel. And some people, you know, have no idea. So I sort of just shoot them some ideas based off of what they've given me and try to go from there.
Yeah. So I know that you work with smaller companies, people mm-hmm. that are almost like, you know, one man band type thing. But do you work with larger companies? Do they contact you?
A few clients that are larger companies, and I do work for them. It's just like certain packages, like I said, that go with different company sizes. So I work with everyone. I have a package for everyone. I can do integrations and all that stuff. It just depends on what you need. But so far, I've had a little smaller businesses.
Well, that's awesome. Other than web design, do you offer any other services?
Yes, we offer graphic design and like initial setup. So a lot of people want the professional email address that's not like a Gmail and things like that. So we do help you set up with G Suite or GoDaddy, whichever one you prefer to use. And we also help with logo design, or graphic design and logo design.
Okay.
And all this good stuff.
So do you do like business cards? Because I need a new business card. Would you be able to help me out with
yes,
that?
Yes, I can definitely do business cards.
Okay, that's awesome. How has WeWork helped you? How has it brought more customers?
Well, WeWork just gave me like opportunity to network with a lot yeah. of people. And it's very centrally located for me. So a lot of the people I do work with, their shops are in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And with being around them, they know their friends who are also in the area. So it's really disconvenient. They can just come and say, hey, and I'm able to work with them as they need me.
Yeah. So I guess that would be my second question. How do you go about getting your customers? Is it like basically all referral?
A lot of it's referral. A lot of it's flyering and like making ads on Facebook. And I had one ad on YouTube. So it's more so just a combination of the two. I have a lot of people who are really happy with my service, so they spread the word. You know, I offer discounts for existing clients if they refer X amount of people. So I have a good pipeline going on.
Okay. And this seems like you're doing a lot of work. Is it somewhat of a team, or is it solely you?
It's a team. I do have a marketing specialist, and I also have a partner that I work with who does web design as well.
And this partner you met in school, or a friend?
Well, we were friends before, and then we went to school with each other. So, yeah, so I could see their work ethic, and I was able to see what we were able to do, and we worked with each other on a lot of projects in school as well. So, yeah, a bit of both.
So what do you need more of right now, and how can we help you get to that goal?
Well, I'm more so just trying to raise brand awareness and really get my name out there. There's a lot of competitors I have to compete with, so that's one thing I really, you know, am trying to push.
All right, so we have Peter who would like to ask you a question.
Okay.
Yeah, so these days they advertise a lot of services where people can be their own web design creators, mm-hmm. like Vix, and there are some other services where you can put together a pretty nice looking website, you know, without paying a whole lot of money for it. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, those services, do they make it more difficult for you? Are they your competition or not really?
It sort of just depends, because most people don't really have the time to like really build a site. I have a lot of clients who originally started with Wix and they were unable to make it function the way that they thought they'd be able to and upkeep it or have the time to. So more so I just target the people who think they can do, you know, the do-it-yourself, or maybe they just don't have the time. So it's sort of like a yes and no, because most people who know they can't do it, they don't even bother with it. Mm. And then the people who think they can, they try it and then they're like, oh wow, this is way harder than I thought it was. I need someone to take over for me. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in their commercials, they make it look a little easier than it really is.
Yeah, definitely.
I bet. So you do that in commercials with many things.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
You said that you're still in school and you're supposed to graduate in 2020. So you're still pretty young.
Yeah.
And you have this business going. What are your goals for the future? What do you see coming out of this in the next few years?
Oh, man. I hope just really great things. I really want to become like the next best thing. I know that might sound cheesy, but I would love for it to just be my full-time job, and I could really just put all my time and energy into it, and you know, be able to like travel and take resources there. And I would love to give back to communicate and educate other people, and you know, offer scholarships from women who want to go to school. That's for awesome. IT. So yeah,
women in technology. I would love you to speak more about that, but another time. So if someone's listening right now and they would like to know more about your business, how can they go about doing that?
Well, they can definitely go to our website. It's www.herwebdesign.com, and I have our phone number listed and our email address, and you can book a consultation, and I normally can get back to you within a few hours and get you set up.
All right. And that was Jasmine Ford for Her Web Design, and I appreciate you coming in and speaking with us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
My name is Sanjay Ture, and we're here at WeWork, and this is Business Radio X, and thank you guys for listening.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you.